Hello and welcome back to Over the Trent. I think we know what we're going to be talking about, it's fair to say. This is going to be a Forest special, I'm afraid, County fans. It seems like you're having the best time down in the National League, winning 3-2 in the week in what was an absolute goals fest. Just, I'm so glad Notts County getting back up on their feet, and we're having such great feedback from the County fans. There is optimism at Meadow Lane. But let's go across the river. I'm joined by Kieran, season ticket holder in the West Brigford end. It's not been good, has it?
No. Do we have to go across the river? Can we just stay at Meadow Lane?
We do have some plans, County fans, to go over to Meadow Lane, get some conversations with some of the players, some of the managers, even have a match day experience, and hopefully we'll get some good content for you. But at the moment, we're going to have to talk about Forest because it is the worst start since 1913. It's miserable, and now Chris Hughton's been sacked. We were at the Forest Cardiff, and obviously this is your first Forest game, so I'd love to hear, Kieran, your opinion on what it's like to be an outsider coming into the City Ground. How did it feel before we conceded, but the goals, the music, the general, I hate saying this, but the general vibe of the place.
The general vibe.
That sounds like your neck of the woods again, Brighton, but how was it? Was it what it lived up to be, or was it a bit disappointing?
Honestly, it was a really good experience, actually. I think it's fair to say that the fans were out in good spirits to start off with, surprisingly. I think you were a bit surprised about it as well, to be honest. You thought it was be doom and gloom. But as soon as that goal went in, the first one, we were like, oh, here we go again. It's a great experience. I am enjoying it for the atmosphere, but the football that has been on show is absolutely atrocious. And that's coming from someone that's in my club, Brighton, through League Two, League One, Championship and Premier League. This is some of the worst football I've ever seen. And as soon as a goal goes in, the players lose their heads. There's no plan B at all. There's no plan A. It's just kind of hoof it up the field to our non-existent tall striker that can't win a header.
No. Yeah. Okay, I'll say this as a Forest fan. I'm glad that you had such a good time, and that is important to me, knowing that we might not be able to put on the best football, but as a fan base, we can be really good to be with, and that is nice to hear. Obviously, we'll move on to the most recent game where it possibly wasn't as pleasant to be at. But I think the problem we have with Lyle Taylor, going back to that original issue, he does a lot of performative effort. He will chase down a goalkeeper. But when has that ever really worked? I mean, I appreciate it, but the effort's not working. He backs into players so many, I think 30, 40 times in the past two matches I've seen him back into players, lose the ball, and then Middlesbrough or Cardiff are on the break again. Now, Taylor ripped it up for Charlton, and we mean ripped up, like, he was incredible. He was the buy that was going to absolutely change Forest. We're going to have a backup striker. Sabri's going to get it going again. And it fell on its face again. Taylor's not been good enough for Forest, I'm afraid. He's good at performative effort. And if you only watch the game and you just see Taylor, you go, oh, yeah, fair play. He's at least trying, but he doesn't score that many for a striker. He doesn't, you know, he puts in a lot of effort. But is that effort well-guided? I don't think so. But yeah, it's been miserable. We're playing very long ball football now. I'd love to hear your dissection of this long ball football, Kieran. It's atrocious, isn't it? This is obviously a Newton period, obviously.
It's very route one, and there's no need for it to be route one because you're doing it from kickoff. You don't need to play route one football straight away. You're not going up against teams that are that much better than you. On paper, you've got a very good Championship side. As I said, the Middlesbrough game to you, I was like, on paper, these teams are actually fairly evenly matched up, but it's just the system wasn't working. There was moments where, this happened in both games that I've been to, there's moments where you're attacking down the wing, but there's only one player attacking. There's no backup for the wingers. They can't do it by themselves. So I don't care who you are. You haven't got Lionel Messi on your team.
Yeah,
you've got to have players supporting the wingers. Otherwise, they just get isolated. You have like two or three men closing down one player, and that's one big problem. The other problem is, for some reason, Forrest seems to think that they're playing head tennis. and the ball just is up in the air for like a good 60% of the game. And I have no idea why, because all of the good chances that Forest have had since I've been going to the game, so in the past two games, have come after a nice string of passes on the ground and a kind of incisive ball through the defence. And for some reason, they're choosing to opt for this long ball approach, which hasn't worked at all. And rather than this approach that they're obviously comfortable with, the players are comfortable playing the ball along the ground. You can see that they're quite technically good players.
Yeah. And we look at the options we have for the front three. This is including, you know, substitutes. Zinchenko has started both games we've been at. Carvalho is on the bench. Alex Mighton, Brennan Johnson, who Brentford were desperate to pick up. Brentford were absolutely desperate to get him in their squad. Now, if a Premier League team wants Brennan Johnson into your squad and you're negating him by, you know, not giving him any support down the wing, nor, you know, just playing balls over his head, does that not suggest something to you that something's not right in this tactics? Like, personally, I it was so frustrating over and over and over again. Now, fair enough, he did try a plan B. I think he went more long ball in his more recent games with Forest, his last two post derby, but it didn't work. It was woeful. The substitutions never came on and helped. And like you said, when a goal went in, I don't want to say this about Forest players, because I love Forest, and I think everyone listening will know what I mean by this. Do you think the players had given up on Hughton once a goal went in?
They didn't look like they wanted to be there after a goal went in. There was no fight to get back in the game. It started getting very scrappy, not always from Forest players. They were starting to get wound up by the opposition. That was particularly evident in the Middlesbrough game. There was a lot of tactical fouls, a lot of hacking at like ankles, and a lot of pulling of shirts, which weren't always given. They weren't always given in our favour, but you can't, as a professional footballer, let that get to your head. But it seems like it was. And Hughton, they just seemed to have no belief in him, and they didn't seem to have any belief in the system, which, if you have players playing a system that they don't believe in, it's never going to do well.
Yeah, so that was the Cardiff game. Fair play to Cardiff. They look like a good team. They could do something in the next few years. I mean, the goal scorer was 19, so he's about our age, Kieran, so that was sickening.
Yeah.
so we could have played him against him in under-11s football and we'd never know. But fair play to Cardiff. They were a good team. Then we moved to Middlesbrough. Now, this is possibly the most toxic atmosphere I've ever seen at a City ground or within the Forest fan base. And quite honestly, it was unpleasant at times. The vitriol towards the team, towards the manager. And let's talk about Chris Hughton's time at Forest now. We'll break it down, but just before we delve into that horror show of the Middlesbrough game, he's been at the City ground now for over a year. He has never settled in, it's fair to say. Maybe it's because he came in when there was no fans, but I think the sort of almost heroic Sabri Lamouchi figure who Forest fans saw bringing us up, playing lovely attacking football when we had the ball, and strong, sturdy defensive football when we didn't, it was almost like a holiday romance. It was so passionate, and the fans were behind him. Forza Garibaldi, Viva La Sabri, things like that just were going for Sabri Lamouchi. And in comes Chris Hughton, a pleasant man, but he doesn't have that air of exoticism, exotic nature. That's the word I'm looking for. He plays quite boring.
It's a word.
Oh, is it? Oh,
yeah.
This is high level broadcasting, people. And it was so boring last year. Seven games where Forest scored more than one goal. That's miserable. That was miserable watching an empty ground. It was miserable. So you come into this year, we then bottle the first three games. We get a point against Derby. Okay, that's fine. And then the Cardiff game, we get battered, and this game was the death knell, absolute death knell. Forest played rubbish, and I mean rubbish. And it's often oversaid that was the worst performance I've ever seen, but that was the worst performance I've ever seen. It was a miserable occasion, it's fair to say. Tactically, Kieran, what did you think of the Forest team last night?
It was dire. honestly. I think that's probably the only way that I can describe it on air. it was terrible. First goal scored in 24th minute, fairly early on. You thought that hopefully they would have a bit of fight after the first goal went in. Nothing really changed. I think they had one or two good opportunities. Looking at the stats now, I think somehow Forest have 15 shots.
Sorry?
But only three of them were on target.
Ugh.
That kind of shows.
So many long range shots at the end. Ugh.
And yeah, there were. That was opposed to Middlesbrough, 13 shots with six on target. Apparently, Forest had more of the ball. Didn't feel like that for a lot of the game. Although.
Oh no, there was that sort of ironic period in where. We'll get on to the fan perspective a bit later, but God, that was a. Hey!
Yeah.
You watched it on Sky. I'm not sure if you could quite hear the vitriol from everyone's going, God, this is awful. But yeah, when we had possession, it was pointless. Carry on, mate.
It was just played around the back a lot of the time, which works if you're going to turn that extra possession into a chance. But you kind of played it around the back between five or six players. And they just hoofed it upfield, didn't do anything with it. And I remember turning to you at one point and was like, oh, look, we're actually getting a bit of possession together now. We might do something with this. And then literally a second later, I think it was Worrell, just decides to hoof it up the field. And it literally went directly to the goalkeeper. And I was like, oh, well, that's that over then.
Yeah.
59% possession, 59% of wasted possession, to be honest.
Yeah.
And there was a few moments where you have to give it to Middlesbrough. There was some very, very good defending, bodies on the line stuff. There was a few chances where it should have been in the net. It really should have been. But there was a near enough a goal line block that sent it over the bar. There was a few tackles here and there that were last ditch efforts that were really good defending, to be honest. Had to give it to the Middlesbrough defence. They had a good game. But it just wasn't good enough from Forest going forward.
No, it really wasn't. And that was the problem we had last year. We said it with James. I'm sure every Forest podcast in the world is saying we don't have enough going forward. Who's our backup? What's our plan B if Lyle Taylor and Graban don't work? Oh, we don't have one. Okay, that's the sort of situation we're in. And Hughan has really struggled with any plan B. He struggled with substitutions. And like we said, he's struggled with the fan base. And I can't blame Forest fans for wanting him out, because I hate saying this and it makes me sound so entitled, and yeah, I hate it. But Forest traditionally play a lovely style of football on the ground. If God wanted us to play football, he would have put grass up there, a very wise Forest legend once said, right? Well, then we're just hoofing it up and it feels so un-Forest about us. That's what's really, really tricky. And it really felt like the culture of the club has changed in a negative way. One of excitement, and there was this gradual build-up coming from that last day survival against Ipswich. We were building, slowly going up the table. And then Hughton comes in. Yes, he's given four bad games by Sabri. We won no points at that point. But to still get nowhere near the middle of the table under Hughton was a miserable existence. And then I don't think I've ever been excited under Hughton. And I think that's why the fans are so eager to get him gone. And we'll talk about some of the managers coming up next who could be Forest potential manager. Let's talk about the atmosphere at the City Ground for that Middlesbrough game. It was awful. And this when Mullican Tyre comes on, there was a great moment where the two lads who were sat next to took it in. That's their first football game, one for 7 years, one in a year or two due to COVID. And he's a Villa fan. And he said, that's a great atmosphere. That's you would never walk alone level of excellency. And that showed a real determination from the Forest fans. And obviously down at Cardiff, the West Brigford lower had quite a bit of a show going on with the flags and Forza Garibaldi doing what they do best and making the City Ground look so beautiful. And then that goal goes in the 24th minute, as you said, and the atmosphere completely changed like that. It was horrible. Any misplaced passes, oh God, what's going on? And that's the thing I also have noticed under Hughton, passes. We can't pass defeat anymore. Even like there's three or four times a game last year where we'd pass and it would just go out of play. But that's beside the point. The toxic nature, and I hate that word toxic. I think it's really 21st century and it really doesn't display any nuance, but it was toxic, it's fair to say, of just any mistake made by Forest fans, the audible groan that just rolled around the city ground. And if ever there was a misplaced pass, whether it was a run that wasn't completed, the amount of fans I saw pointing to players, go, pass to him, just pass to him. It was desperation stuff. And I feel sorry for the fans because Forest fans are so good to the club. 23,000 on a weekday night to see Middlesbrough when you're bottom of the table. God, that is incredible. But they did not deserve that. And Kieran, what was your sort of abiding memory about watching the Forest fans last night?
The memory that kind of comes to mind is all of the ironic chants. It got to the point where you just had to laugh. And like you joined in for a few of them throughout the second half of the last half. So the last, like, say, 20, 25 minutes. It was nonstop. I remember, I won't repeat the chant, but Middlesbrough started singing a chant. And the whole stadium just pretty much joined in as well.
Well, when the second goal went in, oh, we haven't even discussed the second goal. God, oh my Lord. Right. Horvath and Mbeso, two signings Houghton has made, both from Champions League clubs, and they do that. What the hell was that? I'm sure, Forest fans, you've seen the video. It is an absolute disgrace of defending, passing, and all-round footballing ability. But when you're getting sacked in the morning, comes from the away fans and it rolls to the Trent end, it rolls down the Peter Taylor stand and it comes back to us and we're even singing it. I felt sorry for Houghton, and because you never want to see a professional fail, and something especially, you never want to see this is a personal thing, I never want to see a manager of Black and ethnic minorities fail in football, because there's so few of them. And I do want them to do well, because I think it shuts up a lot of the racist elements of football when they do well. But Houghton was just rubbish. And it's such a shame on the part of what it's done to Forest. That now means there's one less, you know, BAME football manager in the community. And also, Houghton's a nice guy. We shouldn't forget that. He's a tremendous guy. And he's just failed at this job. And that's fine. People fail at every job. But this was a horrific. And this sort of football's funniest chance, greatest hits came out, didn't they? You're getting sacked in the morning. Let's pretend we scored a goal, came up in the Peter Taylor stand. You can finish off there's two words to the rest of that. How would you say that? We're really bad. It's probably the PG.
We're awful, and we know we are.
Yeah. It was just such a miserable atmosphere. And we went into the Trent Bridge Inn after, and you could hear it walking back with your pint. Oh God, we're awful. And we were awful. I think the players gave up on Houghton personally by the end of that second half. The passing
definitely school. I think they probably knew just as well as we did that he wasn't sticking around. Obviously, there was just that kind of feel to that game that this was his last kind of dance as such. And I think the players knew that already. Only reason why he wasn't sacked probably the game before was because your owners were on holiday, but yeah.
But I think it has gotten too much. So we're going to look at the future managers. So I'm going to read out the top three on Sky Bet as it stands. So apparently, according to The Athletic, Steve Cooper is in talks with Forest. That puts him at 1-2. Chris Wilder, former Sheffield Wednesday manager, is 3-1. John Terry. Yes, John Terry. 4 appearances for Forest is 6-1. Now, John Terry had distanced himself from it on Instagram yesterday before the game, but he seems to be the headline. But Steve Cooper, in the last hour or two, has really become the Forest possible future manager of choice for the bookies. Kieran, Steve Cooper, does it excite you as a season ticket holder to have to watch Cooper ball now?
No, not really, but he gets the job done. And I mean, if the players get behind him, I suppose something could come out of that. Yeah. And we will hopefully see more goals, not many more, but more goals. And hopefully more wins. Wilder, obviously Sheffield United, not Sheffield Wednesday. You said Sheffield Wednesday there. So,
sorry.
Sheffield United boss. Obviously, Wilder would have been probably, I think, if you don't look at the fact that he managed Sheffield, he would be everyone's go-to, I think, just because how well he did do with that team. He knows how to build a team. He knows how to get the best out of what are average to mediocre players, get them into a position where they're challenging in the Premier League, which obviously they had that one season in the Premier League and then they'd kind of dropped out, but it's still a step up in any direction. But Cooper, I think, would probably be the most likely one, just because he's one of them kind of emergency managers that knows how to get teams firing again.
Yeah, and obviously he did really well with Swansea, got them to the playoffs, and they lost to a really good Brentford side that's doing really well now in the Premier League. From what I understand, so I listened to a great football podcast called The Feast of Football by Ellis James on BBC Radio Wales. It's a fantastic sort of look at Welsh football, and it talked to Swansea fans about the getting rid of Steve Cooper. Steve Cooper got results for Swansea, but they didn't like his style of play. Now, Forrest, I think we'll have the same issue with Steve Cooper. Personally, I don't think it is the greatest sort of signing. You've got to remember Steve Cooper is the reason why Sabri got lost his job. So if it isn't for Steve Cooper, Swansea don't make the playoffs. Forest are in the playoffs. And obviously, that is very much why we're down this road. It's incredible how one bad night against Stoke has left us in such a miserable state. So let's talk about John Terry as a possible managerial signing. Now, obviously, he's done really well as Aston Villa as a defensive coach, but is he? No, he's not. He's not a manager, and I think I don't want him. He's not got the nous or intelligence of Frank Lampard. He was at 25-1. If anyone's interested, to be Forest's next manager. He's just not a good signing. I don't want him as our manager, so I'm glad that's 6-1. Some very interesting ones just down the bottom here. Eddie Howe, who we talked about on the last podcast, 25-1, so that seems like a no. Slaven Bilic, 25-1. Alan Pardew, 28-1. Chris Cohen, Forest legend, one of my favourite players ever, 28-1. Billy Davis, who'd be coming back for his third stint, 33-1. And Nigel Clough is also at 33-1. Bar that, it's just anonymous managers. And that's really worrying that we're down at the bottom of the Championship, only looking at some pretty meh.
I mean, your upcoming games as well, obviously, you're going to Huddersfield away, which no idea why you're putting yourself through that, but have fun. John Smith Stadium, been there, done it.
It's just a bad Amex, isn't it, mate?
Yeah, that's actually how I'd describe it, because it's made by the same people. They made it a few years before they made the Amex. It's an Amex without corners. That's literally
Amex without corners. Yeah, I'll tell them that. I'll tell all my Terrier friends.
You've got Millwall at home. Looking forward to that, actually. The atmosphere Millwall, for that game would be
Millwall don't bring that many fans, to be fair. So that could be a possible win, but Millwall are a good team when they can play football.
Then Barnsley away could be, Birmingham away, and then you got Blackpool at home. That's the next five. It's not looking great, is it, really?
How far is Barnsley? I might go. That's an away day.
It's 29th of September.
Oh, maybe not. That is some bleak fixtures ahead. Tough fixtures, quite hard-nosed fixtures, unfortunately. Why can't we play Peterborough? Yeah, it's pretty miserable at the City Ground. The fans look despondent. And I left early for the first time. I've never done that as a Forest fan. I've never done that as a football fan. I've never done that as a cricket fan. No. And it was just miserable. It was just really miserable. It was just so unpleasant for everyone, wasn't it? Just the whole atmosphere of the game.
Yeah.
And
even as what could be considered a more neutral fan, obviously, I want to see Forest do well. I'm going to back the team that my university is at, but it wasn't nice to see, even from a neutral perspective. It's never nice to see a crowd turn on a player or a set of players and a manager. It's never nice. It's bad for the sport, honestly.
Yes. Yes, it is bad for the sport. And I mean, to be fair, what I say is it's the theatre of sport I think everyone knew they were coming for. I think everyone was expecting this to be a bad game. And if I'm honest, I think the Forest fans were not happy to get, but I think they needed to let their frustrations out. They've spent 18 months in lockdown and this was the rubbish we're being served. I can understand where those frustrations have come from. And what I'll say is they would have been the same to any manager that had performed like that, not just Chris Hughton. But Chris Hughton has not endeared himself to the Forest fans, I don't believe.
I don't think that can all be blamed on Hughton, to be fair. He hasn't helped himself with the fact that he hasn't been able to get the team going. But coming in as a manager when there's no fans in stadiums must be one of the toughest jobs ever, because you have those games before where they can judge you at home. Yeah. And then say you're not doing well in those games, it's going to be so hard to get them on side because they're going to be able to vent all of those frustrations at once.
But what I'd say is there are ways around it of getting behind your, getting, you know, doing a bit of fan service. And I don't think Hughton ever really endeared himself to the fans. This is just from my point of view. I'm sure he did a lot of work in the community. But for the general football fan, I never saw him as someone who looked happy to be at Forest. All his sort of answers post-match conferences were, yeah, we're losing by the odd goal. Well, okay, can you do something about it then? Because we're still losing. And to be honest, there's not, on the points board, bar goal difference, it doesn't matter if we're not going for it because we're still losing playing defensive football. At least make some changes. And we were playing miserable football last year, miserable football this year, and this is where we're in this state of affairs. Do you think Steve Cooper will be able to rescue us out of, or let's just assume it is Steve Cooper, sorry. If Steve Cooper does get the job, do you think, Kieran, he could get Forest out of the relegation zone?
Possibly. I mean, it's still quite early on in the season and seasons are long. A lot can change over the next few months. Obviously, Derby as well with their points deduction. Obviously, they're getting 9 points deducted straight away. And I think it's a possible further three, isn't it, as well, at a later date?
I think so, but from what I understand, that could be next year. But if that is delayed next year or this year, 9 points is a lot of points.
9 points has put them below Forest on minus 2 points, which, that's happened.
That is the one joy that's come out of today.
That's obviously helped out Forest a little bit. There's one less space that you have to make up, which is always handy. But yeah, as I said, seasons go on for a long time and a lot can change in a week, let alone a few months. So I think you've just got to be patient, give it time, and hopefully the team will turn itself around. But ultimately, it all comes down to how the players want to respond to getting a new manager in at the end of the day, because a new manager needs to get the players on side, and that's only down to them.
I think that's a great way to end the podcast, Kieran. Thank you so much for, well, being on this podcast and, you know, making sure I didn't jump into the Trent last night with anger. I was that angry. It's been a miserable past 18 months for Forest fans. Hopefully Steve Cooper or whoever comes in can sort it out. Stay safe, keep it your end, and go well. Cheers.